Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Say.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No, I don't care.
Headed my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live, from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill. Hope all you low lifers are doing well out there. And if you're like, what's a low lifer? Because you just clicked this for the first time. That's what the fine listeners of this program refer to themselves as, the low lifers. Some of them like the new sound effects, some of them don't. But I'm gonna hit you with that double air horn this morning. This is the podcast for Monday, March the 14th, and we got a good one. We got a good one. Hope all y'all are doing well out there. Whew, double podcasting last week. Had the live from Express Up, and then did a little chat about the Red Crest Bassmaster Classic. Some of y'all, man, y'all got turned up for that, for sure. Turned out, turned up. I don't know. Whatever the kids say. I'll look it up on the Urban Dictionary later. My kids are cooler than I am, and they say some jazzy stuff, and I try to keep up, and it's very hard. So appreciate each and every one of you lowlifers tuning in. I got a quick story for you. And you're like, none of your stories are quick. That's true. So last week I mentioned that I was going up around the St. Louis area. I had to go do some stuff for TH Marine at a little conference. And this wasn't even part of the story, but I'm going to say this. The boat building industry have these shows and buying groups that different boat builders are a part of and stuff. And it was at like this really bad hotel. So to back up, you're coming off the high of the Classic, right? Everything's good. I talked about that last week. And then you turn around and it's like back to reality. And you're at this really bad hotel. This really crappy conference kind of deal, kind of set up. Real bad food. hotel lobby bars, you know, and that's just real life. That's the reality of my day to day, more times than not. Surrounded by good people and good customers of mine, had a good time. But like they had this fake casino set up in the lobby, and we did that with like fake money, and we were like 2 miles down the road from a real casino, and it was just I was like, you know, I don't think this is ever the life that I signed up for. They can't all be rock star days, man. They can't be. Sometimes even I'm sure Led Zeppelin had bad days. I don't know. But anyways, up in that St. Louis area, and I had a guy reach out to me. It's just random, man, because I'm terrible about checking messages, and I'm fortunate to get a lot, and sometimes I got a lot to weed through, you know, to get to messages, and just don't have a lot of time sometimes, some weeks, and for whatever reason, man, this popped up, and Dustin Burke, Hook and Needle TV, he is a fishhead, bass fishing obsessed human being like most of us, but he's also an incredible tattoo artist. And I've never seen Dustin really like comment on anything, but he, you know, and it didn't jump out to me. And he said, man, I listened a ton and I watch your videos. And he, man, he knew everything from Lake Teresa to, you know, a lot of stuff I had going on. It was very cool. But he said, hey, if you get a chance, I would love to tattoo you or just talk about fishing. I'd love to meet you. And he kind of shoots his shot, right? And dude, I was so flattered over the fact that, and especially like he says, hey, you can check out my work here. And I look, and this guy is amazing. Like, people that are super creative and have unbelievable talents just blow my mind. But Dustin is a very talented individual. Now, I checked out his YouTube channels, Hook and Needle TV. So he shows some of his tattoo stuff. We even filmed him giving me a tattoo. It's on there. Go check it out. It's very cool. He did a time lapse of me getting the tattoo he gave me. And I didn't think I was going to be able to do it, man. I had, you know, meetings and different things, and I had all of a sudden this four-hour gap in the afternoon opened up. I shot him a message. I'm like, dude, I can do this if you can do it. It was his off day. He's like, meet me in 30 minutes. We go in. We meet. It's like, known him forever. Fantastic human being. Really cool life story, how he got into fishing. And Dustin is not that atypical, whatever that means, looking bass fisherman, you know, the Bubba bass fisherman. He's got gauge earrings, covered in tats, amazing artwork all over, you know. And it's cool. When I asked him on the Instagram story, and some of y'all follow me there, you see that. What do you say when people just like stare at you at the ramp? He's like, hi. And I'm like, don't judge. Because, you know, tattoos aren't for everybody. I've had them for many years. I don't have a ton. I got like six. But it is interesting to me. I wear long sleeves a lot to work, especially. Like, that was my deal. Kind of, you see me at shows, you see me wearing long sleeves a lot. I don't on here, but out of respect for people that might not like ink that much, I don't wear it. But it's funny when I, like, especially for years when I first got them, you'd be hanging out with customers in a work setting, and then maybe they'd see me in a t-shirt or something fishing or whatever, and they'd be like, I didn't know you had tattoos. I'm like, do you look at me different now? Because it is. It's like this stigma, but man, there's such a beauty to it, and there's such a, like, all mine mean something to me, very, very personal. I've not just gotten, you know, something just to get something. It's always something that I want to take with me, and that was my thing. Like, my first two are my boy's initials, and if so, they were always with me on the road. And I know that might sound cheesy or crazy, but like, that was, I was traveling so much when Hudson was born. I wanted to do something like that. So he was my first one. And then I got one for Rider Man as well, down the road, and same guy did both of those. And then I got one after I got a divorce to kind of signify, you know, what was going on there. And you know, and then I got one that's one of my favorite guitars, and that, and has all my, from the Triple Threat to all the kids, all their initials. Instead of it saying Gibson, it has their initials. The guy did a great job with it. And so Dustin, he said, man, we got time for a small piece. And what are you thinking? And I've got several ideas. I've been wanting to for a long time, but y'all know me. And as Brandon Polinick, this beautiful butterfly he sent in right after mom passed, been 3 years. In October will be 3 years since mom died, and butterflies were her thing. I've talked about it on here. So many of you lowlifers send me pictures of butterflies and things. It's beautiful. And, of course, we always think about mom with butterflies, and I'd been wanting to do something. My brother had a nice piece done by a friend of ours here, and I just haven't found the time, or I haven't found the right person, or maybe I've been avoiding it, maybe, because it's I don't know. It's like it's a thing of, I don't want to say closure, but I don't know. I've just not done it. And I've talked about it a lot to the Triple Threat. I want to do this, and I've got, you know, I don't know what to do. And so when I met up with Dustin, I said, he's like, what ideas you got, man? We got time for a small piece. And I told him that, and he goes, I want to do that. And so Dustin did this amazing butterfly, and there's a Ryan Bingham song, Tell My Mother I Miss Her So, that I've loved for many, many years, and it's very personal to me. Even before Mom passed away, Mom and I, as you do with family members sometimes, we had a couple years there that were interesting in our relationship where we didn't see each other as much, didn't talk as much, and so that song has always really spoke to me. And it's about somebody traveling and kind of seeing the world and missing their mother. And I think Ryan Bingham's mother had passed away when he wrote it. But Dustin did this. I'm going to roll up the sleeve on this old hoodie, and I'm going to put this in the camera. Hopefully you can see that. It's trying to see. Make sure you're seeing that. Amazing butterfly. Such detail. He just took his time, and the detail of the butterfly landing on the lyrics, Tell My Mother I Miss Her So. But right there, man, we got Mama T memorialized right there on the old skin. So huge thank you to Dustin for taking care of that. And man, that's, I don't know, I just keep looking at it. It's the same as with my boys. You know, there's not a day that goes by I don't think about Mom, obviously. But keeps it front and center. So huge thank you to Dustin. Make sure you're following Hook and Needle TV. If you're ever up that way and you like tattoos, their shop is incredible that he works at. 12 amazing artists. I'm going to go back. I've got something else I'm going to have him work on. And man, thank you to Dustin Burke. So very cool. This fishing world, man, I talked about it last week. I'm so grateful. There's a lot of noise in it, right? There's negativity at times, and last fall was one of those times for me with all the you know, Guggen BS and Rob Turkla insanity that he calls for me there, and from death threats, you know, it's crazy. Last year was a crazy year, and I'll be honest, like I've been really down on things at times in the last few months, and like, man, I just don't know if I want to do this anymore, honestly, you know, meeting you guys at the Classic and then guys like Dustin Burke, like that just, you know, there's a reason I do this. And so thank you to Dustin. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you to the sponsors of the show. We're going to get them real quick, and then we're going to get our guest on. StarTron, StarBright, kicking ethanol in the teeth in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, in that log splitter. Hopefully you won't be using that very much longer, but most importantly, in that outboard engine. Nothing ruins a great day on the water like an outboard engine that won't run. Kick ethanol in the teeth with StarTron. Don't be using that ethanol-free stuff. Don't be doing that. Shake your StarTron. Text our guest real fast. Bait Works, Springfield, Missouri. And guys, these folks are putting some stuff out, and I want to say, you know, Randy Blockett, love him, hate him. I know there are mix folks out there, but there's a stat I heard this week of how many of those jigs they sold of Randy's, and people buying that jig. A lot of y'all liking making meme pages, making fun of old Randy, and Randy put his money where his mouth is. I've seen some stuff. It's impressive, and it's a really cool jig. I'm still waiting on mine. Hand-tied rubber, old school jig, I think they call it. It's like $9.99. A lot of people, man, it was like fodder on the internet, Mom's Basement kind of stuff. It's an expensive jig. I won't lie, but they can't keep up. Incredible, man. They're trying to get caught up on those orders. But I actually talked to Drew there at Baitworks. He was telling me, and I was like, what? We're working on some things. Huh? You lowlifers. I got some ideas. You may be seeing some things. I'll put it that way. Some things that you might be able to cast at other things that swim around pretty soon. Working on some things. Very exciting stuff. But you can use code Duncan-10 at baitworks.com. Bait-works, WRX.com. I just made a big order for my Gros Savon trip next week with the boys. And yes, I use my code because I'm that kind of fancy person. Use that code, get you a break. Their shipping and turnaround, if they got it in stock, man, it like you get absolutely like your phone goes and you get a text like immediately that your stuff shipped. It's impressive. So, and I keep hearing that from you low lifers. I see y'all using the code. So thanks to them. Last but not least, hang the freaking banner, the Bassmaster Classic winning banner, Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Building excitement since 1966 there, the Herndon family. And it is just that, the Express Boats family. Jason Christie winning the Classic out of one. They got a lot of them blue trophies last year. But I'm looking forward to getting down to Gros Savoye in that X21 next week and bouncing around. Catching some Louisiana bass with the boys down there standing on the sea deck. But if you get a chance to go riding one, go do it. If you see me at a boat ramp, slap me, not too hard, and I'll take you for a ride. But I think if, you know, you get in one, you'll be like, what? It's an amazing, amazing vessel. High-performance aluminum bass boat, the original all-welded bass boat. Express Boats, the official boat of the Traveling Circus, and Low Budget Live. Here we freaking go. This man just won the Bassmaster freaking Classic. Ladies and gentlemen, needs no introduction. The big Indian, as Wesley Strader says, Jason Christie.
Hello.
How are you, other than the fact that you're now Bassmaster Classic? Let's not even talk about that. How are you today, Jason?
I'm good. I've kind of hit a wall a little bit. I think my voice probably sounds like that, but I don't know if it has to do with talking on the phone all week or all that pine pollen out there on the water. It's one of the two.
It's probably a combination of allergies and interviews, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but you know what? I wouldn't trade it for the world.
I was going to say, you're already, and for years, man, you don't have a lot lacking from the resume. Obviously, the big overwhelming story in bass fishing, for you had some close calls at the Classic, especially there, but you're used to interviews, you're used to videos, but explain to the people at home, like, when you win that one, when the confetti drops, how crazy does it get immediately compared to normal, like a normal win?
I mean, normal is not even remotely close to this. I mean, this is how weird it is. I booked an interview yesterday for October. I mean, that far out.
Jeez.
And it's not like it's jam-packed every day, because obviously we got to compete and stuff. But, I think every single podcast and every single, media as far as related to bass fishing, and even not even bass fishing, I mean, saltwater fishing and just boating. I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, the first two or three days, honestly, I don't even remember it for the most part. It's starting to settle down a little bit now where, we got to go on with life as far as we're packing up now, getting ready to head to the next event. It's starting to settle in a little bit. I think whenever I get home and get around, you know, a lot of my family and kids and stuff like that, and just, you know, I can imagine just sitting in the recliner and looking up there, I think that that's usually when it happens. Whenever you win, you know, you get home, that's whenever it really sets in.
It really sinks in for you. And I know, so for those listening, I mean, these guys, their schedules are crazy. You've been gone traveling the country for weeks now. Haven't been back to the old Okie State at all, and you're still in South Carolina, correct?
Yeah. We've been gone since January, and it's just the way the schedule laid out and where it was at. It's just hard. You know, by the time we go back to Oklahoma, you really just go in, change clothes, and you got to turn around and leave again. So we stayed here, and we chose to stay this week even before the Classic happened. And I'm really glad we did, because, I mean, I couldn't imagine going home and trying to do the things that needed to be done this week as far as, you know, talking to people and sponsors and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I am ready to go home though. I know on the way, whenever we're done at Santee, I have a stop in Birmingham and a stop in Little Rock. I haven't seen my kids in a while and I'm ready to go to the house.
Well, I heard a little behind the scenes story that the girls were trying to get there.
Yeah.
And like flight wise and things, it just like didn't work out. And I know that they hated that, man. I know they hated not being there to hug Dad's neck in that moment. But I heard some behind the scenes stuff, obviously. And yeah. I know you're ready to share.
I wish I could have been there because, you know, they experienced what happened in 18. I mean, mm-hmm. they felt the pain just like old Dad did. And, you know, the first thing that we did when we went off the stage is we went back to, they call it the recovery room, and we FaceTimed them. And
yeah.
You know, they're bawling and stuff like that. But the thing that, you know, that I understand and people have to understand is, you know, they have lives too.
Right.
I mean, my oldest, she's in med school, and it's not like she can just take off for 3 days or 2 days and miss tests. And my youngest has got ball games. So it's, you know, they have lives too, but I guarantee you they wanted to be here.
All right, no doubt.
And, you know, like I told them, though, I mean, you got kids. Your kids are with you no matter if they're with you. You know what I mean?
That's right, man. That's right. And they know what you go through, and they pull for you harder than anybody. But it is funny, and I think we talked about this on Boats and Pros when we did that. I mean, you're a girl dad, and I'm fortunate I got one daughter, but four mean boys as well. But as they get older, they do have their own lives. That's what you – I'm realizing more. My youngest is 11 now, and they don't – it don't matter what you, oh, you got the Bassmaster Classic now. It's all right. I got stuff,
yeah.
You know, and it is, it's the, like my boys are like, oh, cool. You had a great weekend at the Classic. Jason won. All right. Well, I had a basketball game, you know,
yeah.
And it is, that's how it goes, man. They don't have time for us, as they grow.
Yeah, I called my youngest, I guess it was the first time that I actually talked to her after the Classic. I mean, other than FaceTime, and I'm like, what are you doing? She said, I'm going to eat with my friends. And she's like, what do you want? And I'm like, well, I just want to visit a little bit. She's like, all right, I'm going to go eat. I'll holler at you later. And I haven't talked to her since. So
all you dads out there listening to this, and you feel like you feel incompetent when your kids talk to you, you feel like insufficient, right? And everything that they look at, we're their heroes when you're little, and we're always their heroes, but they make you feel like crap. So Bassmaster Classic champ Jason Christie gets the same treatment as the rest of us. So don't thank the trophy.
I've learned, though, and we've talked about this. You know, my oldest, she was by my side until it was like 12. I mean, she went deer hunting,
yep.
Fishing. I mean, if I went to the land working, she was with me. And then, you know, it hurt my feelings whenever she started doing her own thing. And I'm like, all right, well, I have the next one, you know, I'll just, you know, she kind of, you know, then the other two were my buddy. And it's so cool now because, you know, the oldest, I think she's 23 now. And, you know, the last couple of years, she's done full circle. She's back. And, you know, I look forward to every day just visiting with her on the phone because, I mean, she's a person, she's an adult.
She's an adult, yeah.
You know, she's right. They come back. I mean, so the people listening, and if you have daughters, they come back. I mean, there's just that 13 to 19 years of age where you tend to kind of lose them for a little
bit.
You
go on the back burner. Dad goes on the back burner. They're always daddy's girls, but you go on the back burner during that time frame for sure. We've definitely experienced that. We're headed into Harper. She's fixing it. She turns 21. God help the world when that happens, and she's legal to drink. But she, you know, she's her own person. She's about to graduate from school, and it's very cool to see, man. But I speaking of back behind the scenes stuff, I talked about this last week a little bit, but I got to experience something really I never have. And my wife, when I fished FLW, would talk about, man, it kills me when I can't get updates or things happening out there. And I'm sitting in the booth with Shanna your lovely fiance, who I've known for a long time and worked together and I consider a good friend, and I'm watching her just truly about to fall off of a stool all day long. Like, she was so sick and nervous, and when we got there that morning, you only had like two fish, and she said, he's had a lemon every morning. I mean, immediately she goes, he's had a lemon every morning by this time. And I said, just he's got it. Just it, things are changing. It's Jason freaking Christie. Calm down. I'm like, this is his, you know, and all day long. And I made the joke. I'm like, I don't know whether to hug your neck or just quit talking to you. Yeah. Because every time I would leave the booth to go do something, come back, she's like, you hear anything? I'm like, no, I'm not hearing anything. But seeing the emotion, man, like it really hit me. So, I don't know, like, I appreciated it so much, like, what our families go through, I guess, is what I'm getting at. No matter what you do in life, but on the biggest stage in bass fishing, watching her, who knows what you go through, who knows the struggles, who knows when you hurt, and knows the highs when you win, it was very cool to witness that, man. And so, you definitely got a ride or die right there. She was 3 o'clock, she goes, I got to walk around. Before I go to the weigh-in, I got to get out of here. She just left, and that was the last time I saw her.
Yeah, that's what made it special is, you know, sponsors and family. I mean, it's easy for me. I have the easy job. I go fishing, and I'm out there by myself, and you know, they have to sit on the sidelines and peek at Bass Track and things like that, and you know,
which may or may not have been accurate, right? A little bit. I don't know.
Right. Whenever I checked in on the last day, I was driving to the arena in Greenville, and I hadn't talked to her. She didn't text me or nothing. And I started to text her because I know that they're looking at Bass Track.
Of course.
And, you know, Bass Track shows I'm behind a couple times or a couple pounds. And all I was going to text her was, hey, it's going to be close, because okay. I didn't think that I had won by any means. But I didn't want her to think that, hey, we didn't have a shot, you know, and I typed the text and I couldn't send it because I didn't want to, you know, what happened Sunday was special because, you know, Shanna said that she had talked to my mom, and my mom told her, so, hey, you know, he's probably not going to win. Stetson caught a big bag. You know, we need to be prepared for that. And so she had kind of accepted, I think, that we weren't going to win. And that's what made it special to see, you know, her reaction. I know I'm out there on the stage and they give me the trophy and confetti starts coming out of the sky. And I get freaking form tackled. And I thought it was Prosnick. Like, that's how hard I was hitting the back. And I turn around and there's little bitty Shanna there. That's
ex-volleyball player coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, she hit me from behind. And but that's what made it special was just, you know, all of those people that I mean, you fish, I have the easy job. I mean, she takes care of everything. All I gotta do is catch a bass.
Well, at the pictures, there were Cody Rubner from Costa took a bunch of really great shots, y'all, and he sent them to me. I sent them over to Shanna, and it was that he captured that immediate moment. She got on stage, and it was like the look of shock and awe and excitement. It was really cool to see y'all in that moment, man, and knowing what you've gone through in the classics and to do it, man. You said something on Boats and Pros. I went back and watched it. I hadn't watched it in a while. It's one of my favorite episodes that we've got to do so far, just because your story, you know, from fishing with your uncles and your dad and growing up and learning everything that you became in fishing as this shallow power fisherman, jig fisherman, Jason Christie's the spinnerbait guru, all these things you learn from everybody you fish with, and it made you who you are. And I heard you mention that in an interview after the classic as well, but you said when you lost the classic, this was something I asked you. I said, would you change anything? Because, of course, everybody's like, you should have picked up a spinning rod, right? We talked about that. Everybody's got ideas on how you should have won the last one that Jordan Lee won. And you said, no, I lost it my way. I was going to win it my way. I was going to lose it my way. Fast forward to this year, and you've put in an incredible amount of work with LiveScope and now have adopted that is a Jason Christie way as well, right? Like you spend all winter doing that. Yeah. That even though people at first glance, like, that might not be what they associate you with, but you have really mastered that.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to – I mean, I look at it this way. Every event that you go to, you have to do something that you feel like gives you a chance to win. And, you know, I don't remember what year it was. It was at St. Clair whenever I won with the old school Panoptics. Yep. And every fish that I caught, I watched bite. And I used that a lot. And that I felt like then that gave me the best chance to win. And it's like this time, you know, if somebody woke up right now and said Christie wins the Classic on Hartwell, I guarantee you they'd bet that I caught most of them on a spinnerbait, mm-hmm. you know, and it just wasn't, I just wasn't feeling it this time. I didn't feel like that would give me a chance to win just because so many people were messing around in that dirty water. And, you know, when I got here, I had a gut feeling that I needed to find something to complement the shallow water. And I spent some time out there it just worked out. That's one of the things that I can't believe about the Classic is how, I mean, I was able to win on what I had. I mean, I had a deep hole that I felt comfortable with, and then I just had a solid pattern that, you know, I could run around and fish docks. And, you know, the deal about the docks is I really felt like if I did it for 3 days, I could catch 15 to 17 every day. You know, and if I got a big bite, I would have 19. But I thought the potential to catch 22 to 25 was there. I really thought that I could catch one giant bag one of those 3 days doing that. And it just never, you know, I just didn't get those bites that I thought I was going to get. Fortunately, I got enough bites to win. But, yeah, you got to do what you feel. And, you know, there's so many people that, you know, they – I'm just going to do it. I want to go to bed at night knowing that I tried to win my way. I mean, and that we've talked about that and other stuff, but
yeah,
and that may be spinner baiting, that may be frogging, and that might be live scoping. But I'm going to try to do it my way. I mean, I've had a lot of people in my boat, and I truly believe this: when the going gets tough, which is a lot of days in professional bass fishing, when the going gets tough, you want to have something in your hand that you have a lot of confidence in. And that happened this week. I mean, I got as much confidence in a jig as I do a spinner bait. And I mean, I got way a lot of confidence, in looking at them on live scope. I mean, so yeah, I did it my way and gosh dang, I'm glad it worked out this time.
no doubt about it, dude. So old school versus new school, there's a lot of talk about that, and you had a mixed approach, right? You had the new technology with the live scope, and you're mixing in something you've done probably 4 million times, I'm guessing, which is catching a bass on a jig off of a boat dock. You're as good as anybody. But where do you think, as a veteran, that we are headed as a sport? Because, like, the Classic, you look at, everybody's got, you know, they got to go visit the chiropractor because they're looking at live scope. You look at, you know, hell, we go to events, St. John's River, they're looking at them on live scope. I fished the Toho Bassmaster Open. There's guys out there roaming around, looks like a carousel, looking at them on live scope. It is so strange to me that it plays almost everywhere now. Do you think that we will get to a point where people are going to have to be better with either their instinct or casting ability and get back to the bank at some point because those fish are going to get educated?
I mean, I remember whenever side imaging came out, mm-hmm. you know, side view, clear view, all of that stuff. And mm-hmm. Andy Morgan said it best. He's like, dude, I love it because all these guys are getting out there, they're idling and doing that. He goes, all it does is open up the bank. Mm-hmm. I think that there's going to be a time where the bank is open again and it's not going to be as pestered as it has been in the past. But the thing is even up on the bank, even when I was flipping those boat docks that was in 2 or 3 foot, you know, I had my eyes on that thing just looking.
I'm the same
and
way.
It's not going away. And, you know, I look at it as, you know, obviously there's some controversy over it. But it's kind of, you know, I thought about it last night. if you're paddling around in a canoe fishing and a trolling motor comes out, I mean, when trolling motors come out, do you think dudes were like, oh man, nah, that I want to keep paddling? No, they, you know, you want to get a trolling motor so you can, and it's the same thing. It's, you know, we've seen so many things come along in the industry, power poles,
yes,
you know, side view, clear view. I mean, there's a lot of things, and obviously this has been, a really big one so far, but I wouldn't be surprised to see something, you know, in the future that changes it again. And that's, I mean, it's, we're changing, fishing's changing, and,
yes, it is.
And you have two choices. You either get on the bus or you don't get on the bus.
Get ran that, over by the bus.
Either way, there's guys that still compete not looking at it. There's not very many of them, but there is some of them, and it can be done, but it's just changing. And you know, it's my dad, I take him fishing, and you know, he's as stubborn and as old school as it can be. And I'm like, hey, get up here on the front of the boat, yep, and look at them and quit casting around just hoping you get a bite. They're right there. Cast, yep, count down to three and reel
jerk
that fish in.
And jerk, yeah. It's amazing. Yeah,
it's just the way it is. I mean, and I you know, I couldn't imagine. And but you know what? If they come to me next week and say, hey, we're not going to allow it, then, I mean, that's the way it's going to be. I mean, the same guys are still going to, you know what I mean? I mean,
they're still going to catch them. Yes.
Yeah.
What I said. I had several people at the Classic, actually in the Garmin booth, say, man, yeah, I love all this stuff. I'd love to see an old school tournament, blah, 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 and see who comes out on top. And I said, same guys.
Yeah. Bring it on. I mean, it's just,
you know, and it's true.
You have to do, like I said, you got to do what you got to do. You know, I have embraced it. Has it changed the way I fish? Yeah, but it hasn't. I don't stare at it all day, every day. I mean, it helps me, you know, and I, more so than looking at fish or my bait, you know, I see brush piles,
yes,
and ditches and points and stuff like that. And, but yeah, it's here to stay. And you know, I'm so glad that you know, I've spent a lot of time, even crappie fishing, you know, crappie fish is not going out and just catching dinner. You know, whenever I'm catching crappie, but I'm actually practicing, you know, looking at them and stuff like that for elite events. So yeah, it's all fun and games.
Well, and I think that it's just a tool. Alabama rig was a tool everybody freaked out over, right? I mean, it's no different than the technology that goes into building your spinnerbait, right? I mean, they're all high-quality components. You've got different things. People really want to focus on that, on the, you know, the, there are naysayers of it, but it's just, it's here to stay. We got to embrace it. And, you know, it's just, I think it's very interesting what it's taught us, you know, where bass live more times than not, right? They're out there. They are out there in the abyss more than we realize, I think. And, it's really cool. But I think for a guy like you, for me, the story of the Classic, not only redemption, but mixing the new school and old school was really cool for me. So I had to ask you that, because I thought that was just,
yeah,
it was really, really neat. Because like you said, people see Jason Christie, oh, he's spinnerbaiting for sure. He's throwing a jig, he's chatterbaiting, whatever, but really cool. Two more things. I'm going to let you go, man. I know you're running crazy. I appreciate you doing this. Why Hartwell? Why do you click with that lake so well? You've got so much success there.
I don't know. I think, you know, in a way, it kind of sets up like some of the Ozark lakes. I mean,
okay.
I think one of the things is just big. I mean, you can get on a pattern. You know, like the last day I fished docks that I have never seen before. I was literally running down the bank and looking for docks that had walkways that touched the bank, and I'd pull over and never been in this pocket before and be able to catch them. I think that's one of the things. But you know, over the years we travel around, and there's just some lakes that you feel comfortable with, and that's the way it is here. And it's not just the lake. I mean, I have a great place to stay. I mean, it's like home. I have a friend here who has a house. I keep my boat in the garage. I mean, it's just, I know where the gas stations are. I know how long it takes to get in to check in. It's just, it's almost,
it's,
you know, I feel like I've fished here 50 times and, you know, I think my first trip was in 11, but I don't know. It's just a comfort It's kind of, I think I said it on another interview, it's kind of like going to grandma's house. You know where the cookies are and you know where the milk is, and
yeah,
you know that if you don't do something wrong, grandma's going to pinch you on the ear. So it's just feels like grandma's house to me.
That's awesome.
And man, the people here are so nice. I mean, and I, you know, you hear that when we go out, but this place, like I roll up on a dock the last day, and it's a two-story dock, you know, and I'm 50 yards back. I shut down and I'm easing up there trying to sneak up on these fish. And my gallery shuts down. Well, I look up and there's an old boy on the second story up there. And about the time I see him, he's reading the paper, drinking coffee, and he's rocking like he's riding a roller coaster. And I was like, dude, I'm sorry. He's like, I don't care. He goes, just catch that fish, you know, catch him, yeah, get him. I want to see you catch him, you know, like that. And most people, or not most people, but sometimes you might take a butt chewing on something.
Oh, ain't no doubt.
You know, and,
yeah.
And that happened all over the lake. And I mean, I went out to eat a couple nights ago. Somebody randomly bought my dinner. They're just super nice.
That's a good part of the world. I always said that about the Lake Murray area also out there. Like, there's just a lot of, it always felt like home to me going, and I love Hartwell. Hartwell's one of my favorite places I've ever got to fish. Fished a couple tournaments there. It's an amazing place, but couldn't have worked out any better for you, dude. And so last but not least, there's this video going around the internet about you. And from the one and only W. And he said, man, I figured it out, Jason Christie. Dude, he lets green cedar bushes. He lights them on fire. Is there any truth to that?
Maybe. Okay. Maybe.
All right.
He's a funny dude. And whenever he asked me that question one day, you know, Wesley's always joking, but sometimes he's serious.
Oh, man. I know that. And y'all fish similar, I mean,
that,
styles.
That,
right?
Has a little bit to do with maybe some Indian heritage, but it was when I told him that. And then I laughed when I saw that on social media.
Right, baby,
I laughed because I honestly could see him doing it. I mean, professional fishermen are kind of like golfers or basketball players.
Yes.
You kind of get in a rut, and you will do anything that you can to get out of it. And I could just picture in my mind, of course, he's got clothes on. I could picture in my mind him dancing over a fire in cedar smoke. So
probably wearing them bright green breeches that he wears. Hey, he made the top 10 at Smith the week he won the Classics. I'm just saying, he must have found him some cedar somewhere.
Yeah, I thought that he caught him some fish. So
maybe he
needs to keep doing that, and he'll get him a W.
Oh, man. So funny, man. All right, Jason, I really appreciate you, dude. Good luck at Santee. That's probably going to be a lot of fun, I'm guessing. I hear y'all got some interesting weather coming, but I think that that'll probably be one of them old big weight tournaments. It should be fun. And I appreciate it, dude. Y'all be safe on the road. Congrats again.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. Jason Christie, right there, Bassmaster Classic champion. That guy is, he's the intimidator of bass fishing. He's Dale Earnhardt, man. He's something, man. When I'm around Jason, I turn into this immediate just fanboy. And I've known him, you know, for years now, and just a really good dude. But you can soak up so much from what he tells you. If he drops some nuggets, and he does, and he did right there, so I'm grateful that he was able to join us there. A little bit of low budget, and I know he's been doing every podcast under the sun and getting chased down for interviews, but I appreciate him taking the time. Wanted to make sure that I had him on just because of the immense amount of respect I've got for him, and I'm so proud that he was able to pull off that classic win, especially on Hartwell. And again, congrats to him, his amazing kiddos, his mom and dad, and of course, fiance Shanna, who good buddy and great people right there, Jason Christie. All right, appreciate each and every one of y'all tuning in every week, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, there through the Waypoint Collective. I appreciate y'all listening. I appreciate you watching on YouTube. I appreciate you reaching out. Some of y'all have reached out about the hats. I'm getting them up online. I'm working on that right now. I don't have a ton of them in stock, but I'm going to have them up there hopefully within the next couple of weeks, guys. I'm running all over the place. This week coming up, going down to Gros Savon. That's like 4 or 5 weeks that I've been on a trip. Marissa and I were talking last night. As a matter of fact, I have put like 6,000 miles on my truck in the last like 2.5 weeks or something. Like I'm all over the place. So took a while to get them, and I'm going to get them up, and I appreciate the y'all reaching out about them. But very cool. Got Traveling Circus and LBL, and we'll get those up, and I'll let you know where you can find those. And I appreciate the support more than you'll ever realize. All right, going to take you out with some Biloxi Blues. Like always, be sure to hug your mama. And I will see y'all next week.
Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss, a Civil War ghost. Well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got 3 good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the
sky. When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawks Cay.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience. Brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts. Every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.